first lesson this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter. Let us listen for God's word. Now, when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in their cities. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." This is the word of the Lord.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 35. Listen to God's word as we continue to read through scripture passages in the book of Isaiah. "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, 'Be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you.' Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For the waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, and the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." This is God's word for us this morning. Some of you know that my parents-in-law, Chuck and Sally, moved into a retirement community last year. After 45 years in the same neighborhood, they decided to downsize from a two-story home with a basement in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in a Lancaster, Pennsylvania suburb, to a 1,500-square-foot cottage at Landis Homes in Lititz, Pennsylvania. My role as son-in-law came into sharp focus with every visit we made. I was box mover. After multiple trips in our two minivans of all of the stuff that Chuck and Sally didn't want the movers to transport, they were finally stuffed into their new space, and the overflow was stuffed into a storage unit. We actually celebrated 9 months later when they emptied out that storage unit. Their new place, Landis Homes, is a 50-year-old community. Not quite a senior citizen facility yet, which sits on a 54-acre plot of land which once was farmland. Landis Homes sees its purpose as honoring and enriching aging adults and their families in a community of Christ-like love. Run by Mennonites, the leadership of the community has set stewardship as one of its core values. They want to be caretakers of those who live there and the places they live. But as Mennonites, they also believe that they're called to be caretakers of the land on which Landis Homes sits and its environmental impact well beyond their location. So over the past 2 years, they have embarked on a floodplain restoration project of a stream bed that runs right through their property. The stream was dammed up 200 years ago for farming the land. The result has been a buildup of sediment, legacy settlement it's called, that now causes flooding and erosion. The long-range problem was that the stream was contributing to the impaired water status of the Chesapeake Bay. It was flowing into larger streams, which flowed into the Susquehanna River, which carried pollutants into the bay. And this past summer, they finally finished creating what they called a functional wetlands. They removed that legacy sediment to create a shallow water level. They planted 51 native tree species, 681 shrubs, and over 25,000 herbaceous plants. Don't you like that word, herbaceous plants? They planted all of that in and around the stream's edge to allow water to flow more freely, lessen erosion, and filter excess sediment and pollutants. And do you know what happened after all of that work? Wildlife returned to the area. Fish and other water creatures began swimming and croaking and sunbathing again. Maybe not today, but they still do. Water quality is improving both locally and in the water that is flowing to ever larger bodies of water. One engineer called it a transformation. The project is returning the land to what it once did as part of a larger ecosystem. What they actually did is called reclamation. What dictionaries define as the conversion of wasteland into land suitable for use of habitation and cultivation. It's what a company does when it recycles fluorescent light bulbs instead of adding them to landfills. It's what youth are doing in Mongolia with the Million Tree Project that stops the desert from encroaching on their farmland. Reclamation is happening everywhere. I even learned that in our government, there's a Bureau of Reclamation in the Department of the Interior. Reclamation is huge. It's important. It's what happens when people get involved in the effort to preserve and save the planet so that all of creation can thrive. Our scripture passages today give us a vision of what God's reclamation project would look like. In this season of Advent, when we return to the roots of our faith to understand who Jesus is and His purpose and ministry, in the season of winter, when the darkness grows longer and the days shorter, in this season when we are reminded in so many ways of the darkness that we experience, the earth experiences, the poor and the lost know all too well, in this season when we remember what happened 1 year ago at the Sandy Hook Elementary School, in this season when we are told to buy more as a sign of our belief in the spirit of Christmas, what would it look like for God to reclaim the world? Isaiah gives us a vision, a much bigger vision, of what it means to say God is with us. God is at work. Isaiah is writing to a people who are staring the prospect of foreign domination and exile in the face. He announces God's judgment on, as he puts it, a rebellious people, faithless children who will not hear the instruction of the Lord. Israel has been chosen by God to be a light to the nations, the people through whom God's rescue mission for the world would come about. All the way back to Father Abraham, God promised that through Israel, all families of the earth shall be blessed. But by the time of Isaiah, things hadn't turned out that way at all. The people drifted away from God, who chose them to other gods and self-serving patterns of sin. They neglected people, especially the weak and the poor, and they neglected the land. As a result, Isaiah prophesied, God would separate the people from the land, and both would suffer greatly under the weight of God's judgment. The remnant of Israel would go into exile in Babylon, and the land would fall into neglect and disrepair. But God does not give up on God's people or God's creation. Even in the midst of that judgment, God promises a great restoration of both land and people, because in the Bible, both are joined together, land and people. Both are dependent on each other, and both are dependent on God. One day, God promises, one day the exiles would return and both land and people would be healed. It would be a time when Isaiah says that they shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Now, to see this vision, you have to do something that's very counter to what's going on outside today. You have to imagine a desert wilderness. Hard to do, but try. And then listen to what will happen in this reclamation project. Water will break forth in the desert. Streams of water will run. The wilderness and the desert will blossom. Swamps will be restored, and grass will be plentiful on dry ground. But it isn't just creation that's reclaimed. Those who are fearful will become courageous. Those who are weak in the knees will be able to stand. Those who are weak, who have weak hands, will be able to grasp firmly the life ahead of them. And on top of all that, God will provide a road in the desert, a safe way home for all those who have been away, far away, who have been exiled and separated from God. The ransomed of the Lord shall return, it says, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The road will be called a holy road. But I wonder if this whole vision isn't a picture of a holy way of life. The sign that the earth and all people are living God's way. The sign that God is with us. Now, did you happen to notice that in Isaiah, did you happen to notice what happens in the reading today with the wilderness, the dry land, the desert, the lame, the blind, the speechless, the travelers? What happens when God reclaims the world? Our choir should love this. They sing. They rejoice. They leap. They dance, they see, they are full of joy and gladness. When God reclaims the world, when God reclaims lives and land, the signs are clear. They are unambiguous. There is no doubt that God has completed the project. It isn't about presents under a Christmas tree, and it isn't about Christmas being a happy or precious moment. When God comes, when God is with us, the earth and all that is in it is transformed, and there is singing and rejoicing. There is leaping and dancing. There is joy and gladness. So the question that I'm left with after all of this vision, and perhaps you too, is when? When will this happen? Our reading today from Matthew helps us answer that. Disciples of John the Baptist come to Jesus one day and they ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" It's a question that seekers ask. It's a question by people who want something more out of life than what is advertised. It's a question that people ask when they want to join a movement that's bigger than themselves. But Jesus doesn't answer their yes-no question. He makes them answer it. He says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them." In other words, look at what's happening in their lives and the lives of these people, and look at what Isaiah has said would happen, and you put them together. Our faith is rooted in a vision for society healing now. Jesus didn't come to make this a holly jolly season. He didn't come to make us feel good. He came to reclaim a world that was intended to be so much more than what it is. And every time Every time another person is healed, every time another person walks, every time a hungry person is fed, every time someone is freed from a demon or regains their sight, every time another part of the world was reclaimed for what God intended, there is singing and rejoicing, leaping and dancing, joy and gladness. Jesus came to make Isaiah's vision real, to show us God's holy way, to be the living water in the desert, to be the bread of life for the hungry, to be the light of the world in the darkness. Isaiah's vision of a grand reclamation project is at the root of our Advent waiting and hoping, especially in times and seasons of darkness. Yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of Newtown, a painful reminder of how much our world still needs this vision of Christ's healing power, God's restoration of a world of peace and justice for all. The families and friends of the victims of the massacre and the members of the Newtown community are still grieving the loss of loved ones, the loss of a sense of safety and well-being. I posted a video on Facebook yesterday of one pastor who is worried about how his people and the community will handle this post-traumatic stress, even a year later. What might Isaiah's vision say to them? And what does it mean to us, who must continue to live in a world where such things still happen a year later, whether in Newtown, Connecticut, or Centennial, Colorado? But I was especially struck by the request made by the families of the slain children and adults, asking everyone to perform an act of kindness in their loved one's memory. Such kindness will not bring back their loved ones, but maybe it will allow some good to come out of the tragedy. Such kindness is one step in the direction of reclaiming a society in which all people are loved and treated with dignity and respect. A society in which all God's children are safe to learn and grow into the people God created them to be. Such kindness is another step on God's holy way. The disciples' question is the question that we must answer this Advent season as people of faith and as a church. Who are we waiting for? Are we walking God's holy way in the path we take to the manger and beyond? Are we living the roots of our faith as followers of Jesus who came to be God with us? What evidence is there among us, in you and in me, and in our ministry, that God is with us? We have to ask ourselves in this season of Advent whether what we believe about Jesus lives up to the vision God sent him to fulfill, the vision that God spoke to Isaiah long before. I mean, when we celebrate our ministry, is it because we feel good about what we've done, or because the lame walk, the blind see, the disabled are welcomed, and there is rejoicing, and there is dancing, and there is singing? Are streams forming in the deserts of life? Are we speaking God's good news to strengthen people and give them courage? The roots of our faith give us a vision for how God wants to reclaim this world. And it's a holy way we're invited to walk. Amen.